Everyone has a platform. Everyone has a voice. And if you're one of those guys in our locker room, you got a huge platform, and they recognize that they have a lot of power to create some good and some positive change.
Excited about having the opportunity to kind of change the course of where our country is going through voting. And just young people, a lot of young people are really involved as well. So it's pretty cool. It's good to see us unite.
In terms of how important it is to vote, and specifically around, you know, candidates and people that are running for office that are protecting gun control, things like that. So trying to continue to raise awareness any way that I can.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. A little different today, as it is Election Day. That was Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry urging you all to get out there and vote, and I am doing the same. I got my vote in today. I hope you all do as well. In California, you are able to register up until today, including today. So if you're worried about not being registered, you can go register at your polling place and wait in line. And you can listen to me while you're in line, too. So, I mean, that sounds like a win-win from my perspective, at least. Maybe not yours. But definitely urging all of you to get out and vote, as the Golden State Warriors are. And the Warriors beat the Grizz last night, so we're going to look at that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Jacob Evans pushing, Durepko in the middle, McKinney three.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned, the Golden State Warriors beat the Memphis Grizzlies last night. I think 116-101. Was that the final? 117-101. Look at me shorthanding the dubs there. Pretty standard Warriors game, I think you could say. This felt like the Warriors of last year. Not that they were half-assing the first three quarters, or first half, excuse me, anything like that. The Grizz played well. They did what I think a team should do if their goal is to beat the Warriors, and that's play opposite the Warriors game. Teams try and match what the Warriors do and run with them, and you're not going to be able to do that. If you want a shot at beating the Warriors, you need to slow it down. You need to get it to your bigs. You need to be methodical in the half court. You need to play good defense. The Grizzlies did that for a half. They were up two at the end of the first quarter, tied at halftime, and then the Warriors did what we've known the Warriors to do, but they haven't really been doing this year, destroy them in the third. They were plus 19 in the third quarter. Outscored them 34-14. And then the fourth was kind of garbage time. It, you know, Klay still played a lot of it. Surprisingly, Steve Kerr brought back Steph and KD to get a couple minutes in the fourth when they were up, what were they, about 15, 16, something like that, I think. So it was just to make sure, just to get them to that last point where, okay, we had this wrapped up. Because they didn't have it wrapped up with about 6 minutes left or so when he brought back Steph and KD. So a couple notes I had throughout last night's game. Not a ton, but just a few, because it was, you know, it was oddly, it was exciting but not exciting. There weren't a ton of storylines to come out. There was one that I will get to, but it's kind of the same one I've been talking about all year, and I'm sure you can guess. It's Alphonso McKinney. But anyways, in the first quarter, Damian Jones, he was aggressive early, but that led to a lot of foul trouble, a lot of fouls, five fouls in 11 minutes for him, which is a problem. But one positive is he was 4-for-4 from the free throw line. And for a guy who is going to get fouled a lot and get sent to the line a lot, and also shot, I think, like 56% in the G League last year, that's positive. He was 4-for-4 tonight, 2-for-2 last game. So he's hit six straight. That's a positive. It sure is. Klay started out rough. He missed his first three threes, hits his fourth, and the fourth one was a terrible shot as far as shot selection goes. He was smothered by Dylan Brooks, like barely had room to breathe, and just jacks one up and, of course, knocks it down. Klay ended up having a solid Klay game, and you heard me talk about it recently. The record-breaking game was awesome. It was great. But he still hadn't gotten back to being consistently good. And the last two games he is 7 of 16 from 3. So that's 40-something percent, I believe, just under 50% at least. So he was 3 of 7 tonight, 4 of 9 last game. So he's getting it back at least, which is very much so a positive, because I've said it before, and I've said it, I think, every podcast since, is as great as that record breaker was, he needs to get back to being consistent, and he did that these last two games. Steph had a rough night, I guess you could say. It's pretty funny because I don't know what a bad night for Steph is. He went 6 of 17, 3 of 6 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, big block, which was a funny moment that we'll talk about also. The 5 turnovers hurts, and 6 of 17 isn't great. You know, we can just be honest about that. But he did end up with 19 points. Probably his worst game so far this year. But again, it's not terrible. You know, he didn't go 2 for 10 and, you know, 1 from 7 from 3 or something. He's still, even when he's bad, he has a good game. KD was just his incredibly efficient self. 7-11 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 22 points, plus 25. He was KD. And here's the other thing with Steph. Yeah, he struggled, came out pretty solid in the third, and was plus 26 on the night. So He did just fine. One piece of bad news from last night, or at least bad news for the moment, is Draymond Green was injured. Foot contusion, I believe they called it. And he missed pretty much the second half, I believe. So it's something to keep an eye on, but x-rays came back negative, which is a positive. And he should be fine 2 days off before the next game against the Milwaukee Bucks, I believe, which should be a good one. The 10-1 Warriors taking on the 8-1 Bucks. So would be nice to have him for that game. Doesn't really matter because it's a regular season game. His long-term health is the most important thing. But it's just one of these things where Andre's been hurt. Sean's been hurt. We all know Boogie hasn't come back yet. But Draymond goes down now too. It's just one of those things, you know. It's like I said, it hasn't hurt them in the record book at all. So not a huge deal, but definitely worth mentioning and monitoring moving forward. So that was the starters. Going to go over some of the bench players who really kind of stole the show tonight as far as storylines go and things like that. So going to talk about that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Get out there and vote. So last night, Kevon Looney, Quinn Cook, Jonas Jerebko, Alphonso McKinney, obviously, and even Jacob Evans all had solid minutes off the bench last night. So I want to talk Quinn because I mentioned it before and have obviously number of times that I'd like to see him get a few more minutes, a little more run, but I understand Steve Kerr has his ways of doing things, etc. I played a little clip yesterday of Steve kind of praising Quinn and his preparedness and attitude and figured that was a prelude to Quinn getting some run. And he got 19 minutes, went 4 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, 7 rebounds, 1 assist. So I think the best part for Quinn and for me just as a spectator and Warriors fan is the fact that he was knocking down his threes. Struggled a little bit from three early in the year. I mean, we're still early in the year. We're 11 games in. But getting sparse random minutes, not really being able to work through what is quote-unquote a shooting slump for him is tough. But seeing him knock down threes is a good development because that's definitely something he should be able to bring to this team is points off the bench whenever he gets his minutes. So it was good to see 13 points overall for him. Solid game, solid run for Quinn. I was happy to see it for him and for the Warriors because I do think he can be a contributor. Kevon Looney is just freaking solid. 9 points, 9 rebounds, 3 of those offensive, 1 assist. I understand why Steve Kerr loves him. And I think if you ask Steve out of the 3 young bigs, Kevon, Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, he'd pick Kevon. And it's understandable. He doesn't do flashy things. He's not the athlete that Jordan Bell is or that DJ is. He doesn't have the size that Damian Jones has. But Kevon Looney, he's just reliable. He was plus 26 last night. And those 3 offensive rebounds, we've always thought he was a solid offensive rebounder, but the numbers are starting to back that up. And not just offensive rebounds, but his offensive rebounding rate, which calculates the number of available O boards you get during your minutes on the floor. And here are the rankings in the NBA right now. Kevon Looney is currently 6th behind Andre Drummond, Ed Davis, Yusuf Nurkic, Tristan Thompson, Derek Favors, then Kevon Looney, and his Cantor right behind him. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you don't follow rebounding like I do, but those are all guys when you hear their names, you think rebounding, and you think specifically offensive rebounding. So Kevon Looney's putting himself in that conversation. And he's proven it. I mean, he's doing a great job at it. And he's doing it consistently. To the point where he's going to be known for this. He's going to start being known for being the offensive rebounding big for the Warriors. Speaking of offensive rebounding, Alphonso McKinney. You know what? No. Nice segue, but no, we're not going to do that. Jonas Jerebko, he had an offensive rebound. Between Kevon Looney, Alphonso McKinney, Jonas Jerebko, this is some of the best rebounding the Warriors have had in a long time, especially coming off the bench. And some of the best bench players they've had in a while, as far as I can remember, since Leandro Barbosa and Maurice Spates. And you can say that other players were better. And you know what? Other players were better. David West was better. But as far as not being afraid to take the shot, not having your confidence rattled, being on the floor with superstars, because I understand the thinking of, I'm on the floor with Steph, KD, and Klay. Why the hell would I be shooting it? Let's find them a shot. But at the same time, you got to play your game. You got to play the team's game also. If you have an open shot, you have to take it, and you have to take it with confidence. And they've had trouble finding people that could do that in recent years. They've found 2, 3, in my opinion, if you throw Quinn Cook in there. But they've definitely found 2 that have no problem jacking up shots. And the best part is they're making them. Now, I also understand the idea of, yes, do not take bad shots. And these guys aren't taking bad shots either. Jonas Jerebko, again, 1 of 1 from the 3, 2 of 4 from the field, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. I mean, come on. The guy was plus 12 in 20 minutes last night. He has been, for what he does, he has been the Warriors' best free agent signing in a while. Now, because Kevin Durant was a free agent, best role player, best minimum signing, however you want to put it, for what he does and what is more valuable to the Warriors. Like, JaVale was good. David West was good. Ian Clark had good run. His first, the first championship they won with him and KD. But to find a guy like Jonas Jerebko that will come in, knock down threes at the stretch four position also. People look at the Warriors as this three-point shooting revolutionary team, and you know their power forward shoots threes and this and that. I love Draymond. Draymond is a bad three-point shooter, though. They've never actually had a stretch four because, in my opinion, a stretch four is someone who can knock down the three, a good three-point shooter. Just because you take them and don't make them doesn't mean that you're a three-point shooter. That's the funniest thing to me, is there's this group of players in the NBA that are considered good shooters. Like, oh, yeah, we bring in so-and-so, and, you know, John Lure can really stroke it. Shoots like 30%. So I don't know where that comes from. But, like, Joel Embiid, I love Joel Embiid, but they're talking about, you know what, he can take it out to the three-point line and he'll knock him down. Yeah, at a 30% clip, which is not good. So that stuff's funny to me. But Jonas Jerebko has been a godsend. He's been incredible for the Warriors. But the real story and the story after last night was Alphonso McKinney, and he's going to continue to be the story. His journey, you know, it's his journey, guys. I think only one listener will get that joke I'm making. But Alphonso McKinney, his journey to the NBA is awesome. It's something you would write a movie about. And he has just continued to play out of his mind and be a major contributor to the best team in the NBA. He was 6-9 last night, 2-3 from three, only two rebounds, but guess what? One of them offensive, three assists, 14 points. He just comes in, knocks down threes when you need him to, plays good defense, flies around, probably the best athlete on the team, maybe after Jordan Bell, maybe even before Jordan Bell, who knows. But Alphonso McKinney has been an amazing story for the Warriors this year. He deserves all the credit and accolades and run that I'm giving him and that the national media is giving him, because he's just a find out of nowhere. And I've said it before, the craziest part about this is, yeah, he was good in preseason. He was fine. But he didn't display a lot of what he's showing now. He didn't display that he was a knockdown three-point shooter. Pretty much he showed that he was a hustle energy guy and would go get rebounds, which, great, that's great. But he didn't show that he's a legit three-point shooter. He also didn't show that he's got pretty sick mid-range. A couple times last night, he'd get to the three, pump fake, one dribble, nice little 20-foot jumper. Knock it down every time. It's incredibly impressive. It's out of nowhere, and it's a huge help to this team. And, oh, yeah, they have a team option on his contract next year for the minimum. So just a great find by the Warriors scouting department, Bob Myers. So I think it was Kirk Lacob who signed him because he wanted Alphonso basically for Santa Cruz, because I believe Kirk is the GM for the Santa Cruz Warriors. Or maybe it was the other Lacob. You know what's hilarious, and this will all tie in, and one of my favorite things is Joe Lacob losing his mind on the sidelines or in the crowd. Alphonso McKinney hit just this ridiculous three last night. And see, the TV, you could kind of see it, the TV angle, but it was much harder than that even looked. He was basically behind the backboard, like as far in the corner as you can get, in the left corner as you can get, stabs the ball out of the air left-handed, jacks up a three, knocks it down, and they cut to Joe Lacob just going nuts. It always cracks me up. I love it. But Alphonso McKinney, he's been great this year, and here's what Klay Thompson had to say about his newest teammate.
Honestly, I don't want to jinx the man, but he makes his first shot every time he comes in the game. Since preseason, since I've been seeing him play, and he's so efficient, and he fills up such a great role for us as far as, you know, being able to, his defensive versatility, his ability to rebound, and his ability to knock down jumpers. He's a great athlete, and I can't believe the guy hasn't been in the NBA for years now, but he took a crazy path, and he deserves everything he's doing because he works really hard, and I'm proud of Zoe. He's a great player, and he's going to be a great addition for us all year.
So there was Klay on McKinney. Now, look, it's been awesome. It's been incredible. He's shooting 60% from three, which I don't think is going to last. If it does, that's awesome. He's going to regress at a certain point, but let's say at the end of the year he's shooting close to 40% from three. you know, continues to play great defense, is a good offensive rebounder. Like, he is a find. He's not going to be this, like I said, 60% three-point shooter, but he is going to be a player for the Warriors for at least this year and next year and probably years to come after that if he can continue to play well. A couple other things happened in the NBA last night. Going to cover those coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Finishing up with some news from the rest of the NBA today. Quick news, go vote. But so last night, the Denver Nuggets, big win against the Celtics. Jamal Murray put up 48. The kid is nice. He is legit. He's for real. He went off, obviously, but I guess the story, which is so stupid to me, is he, in the last seconds of the game, put up a three to try and break 50. Coolest, nicest thing in the world? No. But Kyrie Irving, yeah, I said Kyrie, thank you. Super clever. Tweeted it last night. Surprised I'm not, like, commissioner of the NBA after something that clever. But anyways, Kyrie Irving threw a fit. He just... I look, just some super sour grapes, some stupid, I can't believe he did that. He said it was a bullshit move. He didn't want to make anything out of it, but then called it a bullshit move. So I just, whatever, man. You don't want him to go for 50. You know what you should do? You should have held him to 45. Then he wouldn't have taken a three at the last minute. Or you know what? Hold him to 20. Don't give up 48 on your dome, dude. Like, it's that simple. I remember people saying, oh, when JaVale took that three against Washington last year, that was disrespectful. No, it's not. Being in a position where JaVale McGee is in at the end of the game and available to take a three is disrespectful to yourself. Have some pride in your game. Don't expect other people, don't expect your opponents to have pride in your game. You know? It's just some whiny... Man, I'm trying not to cuss as much, but it's tough when like this happens. Because it is pathetic, in my opinion. You don't want it to happen? Don't let him do it. Don't let him put up 48 points in a game. And don't be a crybaby about it. I just thought it was so whack on Kyrie's part and the Celtics' part to make such a big fit over it. The Kyrie took the ball and threw it into the stands. Like, that was so tight. That was... Bad ass, Kyrie. Way to go. You sure proved him that you're the mature one after doing that. The whole thing's stupid. Like I said, maybe the three-pointer isn't the coolest thing, most respectful thing in the world. So what? Deal with it. Be a man and stop him during regulation. Or maybe defend him when he's taking that three. I don't know. But just to make such a fit over it was... So whack, and it's one of the things I hate in all of sports. Like, you see it mostly in the MLB, which I think is pathetic. You don't want a guy to bat flip or have a slow trot or anything like that. Don't throw a meatball that he hits 800 feet. It's that simple. So I just hate it in all of sports, and I hate it when it happens in the NBA because the NBA is better than that. The NBA, as I always say, is the best professional sports league in the world. But when something like that happens and, you know, Kyrie's crying over it, is ridiculous. Remember last year, Nuggets beat the Lakers and Jamal Murray, as he's dribbling out, goes and dribbles around Lonzo. And people are like, what? Oh, so disrespectful. I love it, man. I'm a Jamal Murray fan because of this stuff. Get your pettiness up, you guys. Like, come on. I'm all about it. And you can disagree. That's fine. But the whole disrespect and, you know, just throwing fits over it is whack. It's whack. All right, anyways, on to tonight's League Pass picks. Kind of a slow night in the NBA. There's only four games. As far as the best game goes, I'll get to that in a second. Hawks and Hornets, I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be exciting. I like watching Trae Young, but... No thanks. Wizards, Mavs. 2-7 teams going head-to-head, pass. I mean, Luka Doncic is fun to watch, but that's kind of it. So I'm going to go with Nets and Suns. And I know, you know, the records aren't great. Nets are 4-6, Suns are 2-7. But Devin Booker's back. The Nets have been a ton of fun to watch. They're a well-coached team and a well-run franchise now, which is new to them, and they're really fighting their way back to becoming a good team. It might not be this year. There's definitely going to need to be some additions made over the next season or two, but I think they have some real pieces there with Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, so I would definitely check that out. Devin Booker's back for the Suns. He kind of makes that whole thing go. They can be exciting when he's kind of there running the show, doing his thing, and then getting it to the plethora of three-point shooters they have. And then the main one, Bucks and Trailblazers. Bucks, as we know, 8-1. They'll be playing the Warriors on Thursday. Trailblazers, 7-3. They've been playing well. Love the additions they made this offseason. So two exciting games that I'm definitely going to be checking out. Nets and Suns, Bucks and Trailblazers. Definitely watch those after you all go vote. Go vote. Go vote. Go vote. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.